Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and today we're going to be speaking with Victoria Kuhn. She is the Marketing Vice President at Dirigo Design and Development, Inc. Victoria, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Good. Do you like Vicky or Victoria?
I go by Victoria.
Victoria, it's going to be. Perfect. You know, a lot of organizations and companies are dealing with social media. It's certainly the big wave. It's a big question, and we're gonna talk a lot about that today. But you know, one of the questions that HR professionals and people ask is, well, first, should we really use it? Is it safe to use? Is it something that you know we can put stuff on and feel confident with? What's the real reach if we've really never done it before? How do we deal with that situation? And so, give us an overview of why social media is the place to be today.
Well, it's ubiquitous. It's absolutely everywhere. It's free. It's available for anyone to use, and largely everyone is using it. So there's something called user-generated content. You and I go onto Facebook. We enter, you know, what we did on Friday night. We talk about our favorite restaurants. We talk about our favorite stores we like to go in. All of that's user-generated content. All of that is to be mined by employers. Now, you have to be super careful about how you mine it so you don't violate state and federal rules, no doubt. But all that information is there for the taking to give you a fuller picture of what that candidate looks like if, in fact, you're trying to hire someone for an open position.
So certainly when we're talking about from a hiring perspective, there's a lot of information out there, right? And I think when you're looking at it from an HR perspective, people get nervous, right, about looking at information that's out there that they go, well, if I see something I shouldn't see, such as somebody says something about maybe an injury, something they've done or something they believe in, you know, how do you look at that and be careful not to mind the wrong things?
So, great question. Get asked all the time. So first thing, I'm not an attorney. I always suggest people talk
to
their...
You don't play one on TV?
No, either. I don't play one on TV or radio, for that matter. I think that everyone needs to use their best judgment as though they learned that information through other means. It's completely conceivable that you could learn about that injury or about that person's religious beliefs, for example, through other means besides social media. So you need to use the same prudence, the same judgment, if you learned it through those other means. Now, if in fact you are hiring someone, then you can go in one of two routes. You can either choose to do your own background screening, and that takes a whole different direction than if you decide to outsource that background screening. And so if you want to kind of explore each of those, then we can actually get into the nuts and bolts a little bit more.
Sure, let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about background screenings. Let's stay with social media for just a second, and then we'll get the background. So where are the places that people go? I mean, certainly Facebook, certainly Twitter. Certainly probably LinkedIn being one area.
Yep.
What are some others that are new and hot out there that people are talking about today?
Well, your definition of new could be variable, frankly, because maybe you and me, Instagram is new, but to many folks, it's been out there for a few years. People like Pinterest. People go to Snapchat, for example. I mean, there's just no shortage of where you can actually go. But I would argue, or I would agree with you, that LinkedIn is probably the biggest employer one out there, followed by Facebook, and then Twitter would be the kind of the big three.
So if a company is looking to post their positions, they probably would say LinkedIn they have to or should be on.
They should, yes, definitely.
Twitter and Facebook are kind of like the next level in terms of posting it. Yep. How about some of the job boards and different things? Are those, you know, Indeed, certainly people post on. The
Glassdoor.
Jobs in ME. A whole bunch that are out there that they can post in.
Sure.
Do you have any sense of what generates the best content, or is there one that, hey, this is the one if you're going to choose one?
From an employer perspective now. I'll speak for my own company for a minute. We actually push out through Facebook and Twitter, but we push out to Jobs in ME. That's where we actually go and include most of our information, and it really bears a fair bit of fruit. I mean, we have been in the 5 years that I've been at DIRGO, we have been able to find who we need by going to Jobs and ME. Now, our sector, so we're in a technology sector, so we sure. hire knowledge workers primarily. Knowledge workers don't grow on trees. So I would think that if a sector employs folks that are in the business market or in other markets where it's not as competitive, it's not as challenging, it's not as grueling, they would probably have as much success as us or perhaps even more. I mean, we it's just been a great tool for us.
No, sure, of course
not
it
that
is.
I'm trying to plug Jobs and ME.
No.
But you asked.
Yeah, I did. I did ask, and that's exactly correct. Why do you think companies and professionals are still shying away from it?
I think companies are naturally conservative. I think companies don't want to take unknown risk. And I think that employers that are in the decision-making role aren't native users of social media. They are folks that tend to be, you know, of the era where we watched cable TV. You know, cable TV was something new, just trying to bring it to a generational perspective. And so I think that if you're not as comfortable with it, it's hard to wrap your arms around it from a risk perspective because there's so much to lose. There's potentially so much to lose if one does something wrong or inappropriate.
Well, certainly today there are more places to go to get your message out. There's no question. And there are social media platforms that allow you to send it out to everything, right? Hootsuite and some of the other things that just go out and blast this information out to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a risk of blasting too much?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I call it fatigue. I mean, it's email fatigue if you're sending bulk email. It's, you know, social media fatigue. Absolutely. You have to make sure you're, I'll say pounding the message, but I say pounding in quotes. You got to make sure you're pounding that message carefully. You want to do it enough, but you don't want to do it too much. And so when we work with clients around social media that have nothing to do with hiring folks or employment in general, we usually say, you know, we apply a rule. And again, keep in mind, this is even though I'm giving you hard numbers, it really should be used as generalization more than anything else.
Sure.
So for every 5 social media posts speaking on Facebook, you should only sell or communicate your employer message once. The rest of them should be communicating your thought leadership, your branding message, or curating other content that's out there that has relevance to your users. So that way they'll want to be engaged with you. They'll want to communicate with you. They'll want to continue to like you or continue to follow you if it's on Twitter.
You know, it's interesting. Likes, right? Likes, somebody clicking that they like something or not like something. The formula to get them, I don't think anybody really knows, right? But what is a close formula of understanding? How do you generate that content? How do you generate that so that you know you're reaching the audience?
Well, there's many ways to get to the finish line in everything in life, including social media. You can, the shortest route is to buy those likes. I don't agree with it per se, but they can in fact be purchased. But you can also look inside of insights on Facebook and actually see the degradation, I guess I would say, of the data of buying those likes. Generating good content to get to likes, and really likes is just getting to the starting gate these days. Really getting through the door is the engagement piece, meaning the person's sharing it, the person's commenting on it. So the way to do it is to deliver really rock solid curated content. So going to museums, not to, you know, go to a different sector here, but when you actually, you know, what we see on walls and for sculptures on stands inside of museums is called curated content or curated art. The same thing happens in social media. So folks essentially that are in the social media space, they go out, they scour, they look at what the sector is about, and they actually find content to include that has relevance. Now, when you curate the content, you obviously include some kind of a link to it, but at the same time, you're actually giving them a nugget of information that then gets them to entices them enough to say, yep, I'm going to go ahead and click on whatever that thing is, and I'm going to read more about it, and then I'm going to say, good job, or I like it, or I'm going to share it, or I'm going to retweet it, or, you know, I'm going to favorite it, again, with respect to Twitter.
When people do that, again, let's go back to what I said. I'm not sure I understand. They always understand what they're clicking on in terms of when they like it. Mm-hmm. There doesn't seem to necessarily be a rhyme or reason. There's a reason why one of the number one things that are clicked on Facebook is cats or dogs in terms of liking them, mm-hmm. right? People can relate immediately if their pet
lover is. Well, it's a stress reliever, too, frankly.
In terms of it. So companies go, well, what, do I just put my company pets on there? Do I share information and try to get them to mm-hmm. like the company more? Mm-hmm. Is it to make it more human? Is it to make them the culture part of the organization be there? These are all questions that mm-hmm. when you're trying to hire somebody, for example, in this particular case, they're going to look at necessarily the content you've put on your wall. It's all relevant in terms of what you're trying to get across. So what's the best way to think about that from a strategy perspective?
Okay, so a couple things. There's a lot of questions in that.
A lot of questions.
So the first thing I would say, likes are like a popularity contest in high school, to be completely candid. You know, some people are cool, some businesses are cool, and frankly, just some aren't. I mean, and what makes someone like a particular business page can be fickle. It can just be extremely fickle. And so we say to our clients, let's focus on delivering good curated content over and over and over again. Just be very consistent. We marry that up with paid, I mean, not every time, but oftentimes we marry it up with paid Facebook advertising. And there's options now. Facebook's done a great job of expanding their advertising options. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of ways to engage folks in that way. And those can bring on likes. You can also use bulk mail, you know, and pull people over to your Facebook page. You can use your website and do the same kind of thing. You can use PR. You can use events and conferences. You can use a radio show like mm-hmm. this one right here to sure. do the same thing. All those things can pull or push people over to where you want them to be. But your channel, your Facebook page in this instance, has got to be rock solid. It's got to resonate with people. And when I say resonate with people, it can't be the post from 2 weeks ago because it's way down on your wall, of course. It's got to be every post every time, because obviously we don't know when, you know, Debbie or John or Jane or anyone else out there is going to be coming to your business page and saying, today's the day. I'm going to like it. Or today's the day I'm not going to like it and I'm going to move on to, you know, your competitor or the next thing.
Right. And that's probably the biggest challenge, right, with people looking at social media is I hear a lot of people saying, so where's the ROI? You know, you talk to CFOs, you talk to directors of HR, VPs of HR. They go, where's the ROI? And it's hard to measure, or am I mm-hmm. missing something?
Well, it's interesting because social media is an investment. There's no doubt about it. Not all companies see it. But sticking to an ROI formula, I would argue, just needs to be tilted on its side. It's really ROE these days. It's return on engagement. It's very difficult with the way the world has changed on the internet to be able to actually tie back some campaign to that like. I mean, there are ways to do it, but if you're using an integrated approach, it can be extremely difficult. So if you look at return on engagement, you can actually then look at what's happening on that Facebook page or on that Twitter page, and you can actually see, I started the campaign on day one, I ended it on day 31, you know, I started here, I ended there, I have so many of this, that, and the other thing, and then you can look at all the other shares, the comments, the communications that happen as a result of it. If, you know, you're in the banking industry, you know, what are your net number of new deposit accounts? You know, if you're in the, you know, the seed industry, you know, how many more seed accounts do I have? I mean, you get the point about
right,
it. But
right, right.
Return on engagement is softer, no doubt, than return on investment. But it's, I would argue, fairer. It's a fairer result because social media is all about culture. It's all about being real. It's about being human. It's about creating an environment with a person that the customer, your prospect, wants to do business with, or again, if it's an employment opportunity where that prospect or that candidate might want to work at. And I think you have to make it real and have feeling to it and have a heart and all those other attributes that people want when they do business or they want to work for that company.
We're talking with Victoria Kuhn. She is the Vice President at Durago Design and Development, Inc. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well,
All you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com. And today we're talking with Victoria Kuhn. She is the Strategy and Marketing Vice President at Durago Design and Development, Inc. And we're glad to have you on.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're very, very welcome. You know, you work in a super crazy, busy communication world.
Oh, yes.
Right?
You can
communication
say that.
World. Is that a pretty good way? I think
yes,
that's a good way of calling it.
Absolutely.
So we're going to be talking about the hiring part here in a little bit in this segment to build upon what we said in the beginning, which kind of outlined what we're going to talk about today. Social media is such a big space. It's such a big area that HR professionals will say, hey, I know I should play in it. I know I should probably do something in it. I might dabble in it. But at the end of the day, I still have to go out and find a person. So I'm not sure I'm going to get the candidates I need, because what if the candidate isn't on my Facebook, isn't on my LinkedIn, isn't on, and it's only going to be seen necessarily by the people that like or share or that type of area. How do I broaden that so that more people see it without necessarily having to pay for it?
Without having to pay for it. Okay, there's the
Did you
there's
see
the
this?
Twist.
The catch. There's,
okay, there's
the twist.
Twist.
Yes.
Well, I still believe fully that posting to these various walls is important. You, even though someone hasn't liked or isn't following you, doesn't mean that they can't navigate to your business page. And people do navigate to your business page. So you should be prepared at all times to have relevant content, employment content, if in fact you're looking to hire. So case in point, yesterday morning, we decided we needed to hire another front-end developer. We posted it to Facebook. We drove over to Jobs and ME. So we will continue to push that message in a way that we hope is obviously not off-putting to people, meaning we aren't going to do it too often. But at the same time, we are going to keep pushing that rock up the hill until we find the right person. And I suggest that folks do the same thing. You know, on LinkedIn, there's an about page for the company. People should include that kind of information there. With respect to not paying for it, I really would encourage people to actually be strategic and fork over a little dough and pay for it. Particularly LinkedIn and Facebook have incredible segmentation models. So, you know, if you're looking for the person that's under the haystack or in the haystack, so to speak, both of those channels are going to give you a great way to be able to be extremely targeted. And when I say extremely targeted, I also mean that that can be extremely economical. So again, trying to get to that point as well.
How often should you ask your followers to share?
Every time.
So it's not impolite to say, hey, everybody, share this.
It's a verb. So absolutely, it's a verb.
It's a verb.
It's a
I
verb.
Like that.
I mean,
yes,
we might
tweet that out. It's a verb.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, use discretion, use your good judgment. But if you're delivering rock solid content that you think is good, and it's not that you think it's good, but that you think will resonate with your base, then there's no reason to ask for it. Now, be strategic, of course. I'm sorry, I was being a little flip. Be strategic, of course.
Right. You know what? You just said something that's important. So the content you think is right, it's really what the person seeing it thinks is right, right?
Right.
So language of that content is everything, is it not? It's how it's worded, what it says, that it's professionally done, that it doesn't look like, you know, spelling, all that sort of stuff. How important is all that?
Super important. It's your brand. And in our world, we call it curating content. So you want to take some story that's out there and you want someone to look at it, whether it's your blog, you know, your most recent blog post, or it's your most recent radio show, or it's some new study that came out about something or other. In any of those cases, you want to give someone a nugget on the site. You want to help them understand why they need to take the next step, which is to click or to share or to, you know, to act, to do something, another verb there, to do something. You want to make it impactful so that way they will take the next step.
Sharing is the way that the content gets moved across platforms, no question about that. And sometimes people take the information, share it on other areas. Is there any risk that it gets shared in the wrong place?
Sure. Absolutely. But you usually cannot control for that because it's out of your hands at that point. I mean, there are lots of ways to kind of manage that as much as you can. Again, when it's an ad, you're segmenting, so you can manage it that way. When it's organic, free, just posting out there, it could get in the wrong hands. I'd have to go back and do some research, but I can't put my hands just and in my brain readily that of something that happened. However, I mean, I think of a major car company, and this major car company hired a social media marketing company to actually do their organic posting. And so on a channel I won't even name, which is one of the major ones we've already talked about, the person actually posted, they used a hashtag, and they also posted using profanity, as well as mentioning something very detrimental or negative towards this manufacturer. Well, not only did this cat get fired, but the company he worked for got fired as well. So, yes, things can get in the wrong hands, but this person did, I mean, they shot themselves in the foot. Not exactly the same question you were asking, but relevant in the sense that being in the wrong place at the wrong time can be self-inflicted. And if it's not self-inflicted, I would argue that you largely can't control for it.
From a hiring perspective, people sometimes look up employees and what they have on their Facebook, LinkedIn, or other pages. And we know that most of what they post there is their right to post, and it's protected speech, and they can pretty much post what they want. That's to a degree. If it provides trade secrets of the company, or if it provides other things that shouldn't be out there, or might be covered under confidentiality agreements or other things. Yep. Those are all segments and different sections. But in general, what they post is their right to post. It's freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. When you see companies having their employees linked to their company page, which do you encourage or don't encourage, how do you manage that control in terms of from a communication standpoint when everybody's communicating different messages? How does the company try to work with a standardized communication message across the board?
Well, I think there's two ways to answer your question. The first one is who is empowered inside of an organization to communicate on behalf of that. And that would be the official, you know, sort of the spokespeople roles. And in the old days, it was, you know, you call up, you talk to your PR person. These days, you know, the PR person is probably still there doing their thing. They're probably continuing to handle traditional media, I would probably argue. Plus, they may either have other staff or they may do for themselves the social media related stuff. Messaging can be managed through the use of sandboxes is what I call them. But, you know, basically you have your messaging points and everyone agrees that our messaging points stay within this sandbox. And that applies for us too. When we're hired to actually manage a brand in social media for a company, we know what we can and what we can't say, what's in and outside of that sandbox. So the same thing happens there. But I think your question is probably more to what do you do with all the other employees that might work in operations or might drive for a company or be the salespeople or, you know, wherever they are in the company. It's free speech. It's what you said. It's free speech. And people can largely say what they want. Now, if someone chooses to communicate about a customer in particular, that can be a real problem. And that needs to be addressed. And I would argue that if a company does not have a social media policy, they need to get one post-haste. And even includes what I call vague booking or what people call vague booking. You know, so you're on, you know, you're in customer service, Dave, and you've just had a really bad call with, you know, the ABC company. You don't name the ABC company, But you name enough information, still yet being vague, to where it's fairly obvious who and what it is that you're talking about. That is, that's a slippery slope. And your social media policy, you know, probably needs to try to address it as much as it can. But recognizing, I mean, let's all be real, we can't address everything and every policy every time. You know, sometimes people just are blowing off steam and we can just ask them to gently take that down. Sometimes we just let it go. Sometimes we just, you know, one can be monitored and can see what's going on. Sometimes people need to have some remediation, and sometimes maybe people need to, you know, find another job. And all those options happen in the purview of HR, as I'm sure all of the HR folks know.
No question. No question. All that's relevant. When somebody's looking at this and they come into a HR professional and say, hey, I saw on your Facebook page, company Facebook page, or I saw this information, and the HR professional is talking about that information with the employee, should there be guidelines to what should or should not be said from an HR perspective about social media to the employee?
I think the company should have a social media policy. And I have a sample social media policy. So if, you know, you're interested, we can at some point in time, if you want, share my contact information
sure.
with folks.
Yeah, we will
and,
do that.
And if they're interested in, you know, getting a sample social media policy, they can get their hands on one and obviously adapt it as it needs to be. You know, in part, what you're asking is a cultural question. I can't give you a hard and fast rule. Because some company's going to be so focused on their brand, they're going to be more, let's call it restrictive, than another brand that's going to be more laissez-faire and it's going to really tackle the big ugly things like someone tying their brand to something that's related to sexism or, you know, something that's related to something that's just really incongruent with society's norms. So it's just really going to depend on that company and on the legal culture and just the culture in general of that organization.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, certainly when we're talking about policies, there's companies that have lenient policies, there's companies that have very strict policies. And you know, if you're working for a law firm, that's one thing.
Yeah.
If you're working for a tech firm, it's probably a completely different conversation in terms of it.
Yes.
And controlling it. You know, we have clients that still block Facebook.
We
work,
do too.
All right. And we have others that encourage it. And so, yeah, you know, there's still a huge learning curve for companies in terms of their understanding of why and what we should do here.
You know, one thing I'd love to say is really, I think that companies, I would encourage companies to try to embrace it as much as they can because your employees can actually be brand ambassadors for you. I really think that if you ask people to do the right thing, or just to ask people, they will do the right thing. I mean, people want to like and do like working for their employers. If they don't, I mean, they walk with their feet. There's few reasons, I would argue, to really try to limit that, especially when you've got a bunch of people walking around that live in our community and, you know, go to parties, go to grocery stores, go to soccer games, you know, communicate with all kinds of folks. And they can choose to stay comfortably where they work and what they do and communicate. And again, be that great brand ambassador. Or they can choose to say very little or avoid the question or, you know, just in general, not be a brand ambassador. And God forbid, they can choose to be the opposite of being a brand ambassador. I mean, they can really, you know, they can really let your brand have it in a way. And of course, I think people will believe them because they work there. More so than if, you know, I'm not working there and I'm looking on the inside. It's a little bit different.
Well, you know, it used to be that, you know, people would go out and they talk to others about what your company is about. Now they can go Google what your company is
Touché.
About, right?
Yeah.
And most candidates do say that they Google a company and see what comes up. And if there's negative stuff on there, you know, whether it's right, wrong, or true is another whole question, but it is the perception.
Well, and it's called reputation management in our world. And so we actually help brands manage their reputation. And how do you do that? Because all this user-generated content, I mean, no one, it's like weeds in a garden. You know, you go out, you spend all this time building a garden like you build a brand. And then you've got a whole bunch of weeds that pop up. And if you've got a really big garden, it's really difficult to get a handle on the weeds, just like it's really difficult to get a handle on all the user-generated content that's out there. So there are ways to find and scrape and monitor and then proactively, hopefully it's proactively rather than from a remediation perspective, go out there and seek to solicit positive content. So that way folks, when they do go out there and find that job, to your point, they're actually finding content that's relevant and that's real and that's, you know, hopefully all positive, or at least mostly positive.
Sure. We're talking with Victoria Kuhn. She is the Vice President of Derigo Design and Development. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay tees are just $19.99 each when you buy two or more.
You make the decision to buy the home, then you're faced with what's next. What do we do?
We started at Realtor.com.
Realtor.com gave us a lot more current information.
Listings are pulled directly from the MLS every 15 minutes.
Once you've gone through all of that, the Realtor makes it happen.
We worked with the Realtor that really knew the area.
And he knew the market.
When you have someone who has the expertise, it makes it so much easier.
Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're talking with Victoria Kuhn. She is the Vice President of Derigo Design and Development, Inc. And we're talking about social media in the workplace. We're talking about how it affects hiring, how it affects your reputation and your culture. And we're just talking about it because it's fun.
Absolutely.
It's fun. It's social media. You know, there has been some headlines in the news having to do with social media, which came out in May of 2015. It's a lawsuit that was brought by a Miss Suite versus LinkedIn. And this has to do with I believe that she didn't like that LinkedIn was used as a recruitment tool. Is that correct?
Correct.
So can you explain what that's all about?
Sure. So Miss Suite applied for a job in a company in California, and the employer used LinkedIn as a business tool in its background screening. And so the issue at hand, as I understand it, was that not only was she not hired, but then there were others that were brought in, and it was a class action suit. So they were arguing that the use of reference search material is considered a third-party tool, which means it then falls to a federal rule, the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And that was essentially the crux of the item. And what was found was that LinkedIn is not, in fact, an agency or a third party, according to the Fair Credit Reporting Act. So really, it really lifted off of LinkedIn, I would argue, some freezing or some icing. I mean, there were some really nasty or some really terrible opportunities for LinkedIn to be put aside as an appropriate business tool for employment searches. And so LinkedIn is no longer required to verify the accuracy of these searches, which would be a big burden on an organization such as that. It's no longer required to, or is never been required to, inform consumers about the use of the information in the hiring process. And so now user-generated content is user-generated content, just like it would be on any other location. I mean, in the end, Ms. Sweet was not, you know, a gun wasn't put to her head and said, put all this stuff up on LinkedIn. She put it up of her own volition, hence user-generated content. So that's the big gig, along with the Fair Credit Reporting Act.
So from a standpoint of companies using LinkedIn to either screen or to get content or information and then make decisions based upon it, it basically said that that's fine.
Absolutely.
They can use it. Companies can use that information.
They've always been able to use it. The issue was whether or not they had to inform the person whose information was being used and whether they had to verify the accuracy of the information.
Gotcha.
I'm not an attorney, but that's my understanding of really the niche or the nitty-gritty of the lawsuit.
Well, it certainly allows, you know, companies look at public content all the time, right? Or they buy into databases or different things that give them content. And I think that, it, you know, from my perspective, you always have to be careful what you find and what you use, right? And, you know, it's no different from the standpoint of, you know, people say, hey, it's on the internet, must be true. Not always, right? Because generated content, buyer beware. So I think it's important to understand that you use all the tools that are available to you. And use them wisely and make good decisions. Have a process in place, have a policy in place, have a hiring process in place where, in other words, you're actually going to use certain things to make decisions on. And don't base it all just on one thing. That's just good advice straight across the board.
Touché. And you said something earlier, which is social media is fun. And I don't disagree with you, but I would also suggest or argue that social media is also a business tool. And it can actually be used in a process, as you've described, to help an organization make the best possible decision around hiring candidates in the situation that you're talking about, or even, you know, with whom to engage in some kind of partnership or collaboration if it doesn't even involve employment. I mean, thinking about sponsorships that companies may decide to partner with a nonprofit, they should do their own due diligence. I'd suggest it's really more due diligence.
You know, companies, when they're thinking of social media, may say, well, will this help them retain great talent? What do you say to that?
That's a stumper, to be honest with it. Will it help you retain? You know, I think culturally speaking, with social media in the culture as a big ball, if you will, with social media in there, I do believe that it will. I mean, people want to work for companies that do good. In fact, I've got a study that was done by the Glassdoor. And then a gentleman named Peter Economy brought it out through Inc. recently, and it actually talks about what it is that people like about companies. And so, again, you'll have to let me know if this is totally on point, but it mentions three things that matter most to millennials in the company that they work for: growth opportunities, retirement benefits, and a great work culture. Now, social media should, I would argue, could be part of that. I mean, again, I think people who work for companies, they want to have pride. They want to feel good about that company. And I think social media can play a part in that. Not only that, but, you know, inside of my own company, I mean, we wear a lot of hats. So we have a couple of people manage this channel, and a couple of people manage that channel, and a couple other people manage another channel. And that's because there's trust. That's because we know that people know their stuff. That's because we know that we can't do it all, you know, as the leaders, if you will, of the company. So we're spreading it around. And as long as, you know, we all know the sandbox rules, then it works. And I think the same can happen in, you know, in other companies that are our size or even larger for that matter, or smaller.
Well, certainly from a generational perspective, Gen Y and now Gen Z just coming into the workplace really do look at the culture of an organization very highly. They want some organization and people within that organization that are going to be engaged, not only locally, but globally. Mm-hmm. And they want to think about big picture. They want to do good. Mm-hmm. I know it's a little bit of a cliche term, but we want to do good. And we want to do the right thing, and we don't understand it from that perspective why you don't shout out what the good things you do are. And that's what social media is, a way to share the good things that happen.
Absolutely.
In terms of that culture.
Agreed.
So we all learn from companies that make mistakes. We all learn from organizations that sometimes are out there and are challenged in what they put out. Obviously, you have some examples you're going to share today about organizations that probably could have done it a different way. Mm-hmm. Give me some examples.
Sure. So we just talked a little bit before about how it's important to verify your source on the internet. And so to the extent that I could, here's what I found. So we're all probably pretty familiar with the NBA. So just about 2 months ago, a social media manager from the Houston Rockets lost terribly. 20 points down on that particular game. And the social media manager completely smeared the company. He said something like, shh, it'll be over soon. He got fired. I mean, again, I think people who are in social media have a really, and they're in an official spokesperson kind of a role. They have a very clear responsibility to be pushing out the culture and the branding that an organization wants. And I think that, you know, probably everybody could agree that the team had a, you know, had an off night, and everybody has an off night. So in that case, that person was sent to the unemployment line.
Sure. Let's probably deserved it at that point.
Well, I mean, obviously it was taken down, but not before the opposing team actually retweeted it and, you know, put something that was like, oh, that's too bad. Or, you know, I mean, it was just really unfortunate on so many levels. Yeah. Another one that comes to mind is an anchor for CNN actually tweeted something of pretty poor taste related to a person in the Middle East who she said she admired. But it had come out that that person had actually been responsible for the death of over 250 people. So the person was a terrorist. Again, these are words that I'm not making up, but these are words that I found online. And so I would imagine that working at CNN is probably close to the pinnacle of someone's career. But this particular woman was fired. Really unfortunate for, you know, using just poor judgment. It's one thing to be edgy, but it's another to do at least these two examples. Another one of a person that I guess unfortunately was fired was a gentleman who was a leader in the Maryland Department of Public Safety and Corrections. He actually was visiting a prison and said something like, I haven't been groped this much since the flight on my honeymoon. And this was just the guards. So he, of course, you know, had a very long career in public service, and it ended abruptly. So again, these are real examples of where people need to, you know, take a deep breath and decide what it is that you know, really want to post, and is that really a good idea?
Well, you know, I think that goes for everyone in terms of, it's that old inside-outside voice, right? My inside voice thinks it, but my outside voice shouldn't say it. And I certainly tell my team that, you know, if you're having an emotional reaction, don't send it. Don't hit send.
Sure.
Because draft it. Yep. Draft it. Put it in a draft. Don't put a name up top. Just and then delete it. And good, you got it out. And the next day, maybe you resend it or delete it. But, you know, really think it through before you do that, because it does. Emotion does play into this. It does.
Sure. And I even suggest that people don't put it in their email or put it on that social media channel. Just open Word or like a notepad, some kind of a text editor. So it doesn't have the opportunity, because of fat fingers or, you know, anything else, to accidentally, unintentionally go out onto the waves. I mean, obviously you can take back a tweet. You can delete a tweet. You can delete a
post. Delete.
However, people will have seen it. Someone has seen it somewhere. In all of these situations I've mentioned, these before all of these tweets and posts from Facebook were removed, they were captured. I mean, it doesn't take much to find them.
No.
I mean, the kicker that I find interesting is the voiceover for Aflac. So we all know the duck.
Yes, we do.
He was fired for actually tweeting jokes about the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. And as I understand it, one of Aflac's top countries where they do business is Japan. So, I mean, here's a person who was using, you know, humor, comedic humor, and it just went too far. And so, you know, I'm sure the guy had a great gig, but it went south.
Well, it's always a question of humor, right? Humor is subjective. What I find funny, you don't necessarily find funny.
And there's a motive response to it as well, which,
exactly,
to get into your
correct
point.
Right. You never know what that actually is going to be. So it is an interesting discussion from that standpoint. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Carfax. You already say, show me the Carfax. But now you can say, show me millions of used cars for sale at the all-new Carfax.com, where now you can search with the power of Carfax. Want cars with no accidents reported? You got them. Used cars that are well-maintained? You can find those too. Even one-owner cars are just a click away. Plus, we're the only site where you get a free Carfax report with every car for sale. So, find the cars you want, avoid the ones you don't. Start your used car search at Carfax.com.
I love mosquitoes. They're so cute. Their cute little wings and pokey little mouth. I just want to cuddle with one. Make it my little mosquito pet. I'll call him Skeety. Said no one ever. There's mosquito repellent, and then there's mosquito dead. Kill them with Terminex Mosquito Service. Kills more than 90% in 2 to 3 weeks, and it's safe to use around people and pets. Call 1-800-TERMINIX today. 1-800-TERMINIX. Death to mosquitoes.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAKorea.com. And today we've been talking with Victoria Kuhn, the Vice President of Dirigo Design Development, Inc., about social media and all the fun stuff that goes along with that. I got to tell you, this has been very interesting because there's a lot of information out there that hopefully people have been able to glean from today's conversation. Why are you in the social media space? What got you into that?
It's part of our business. I mean, we are a marketing, communications, and software development company. So social media is all about how you market your brand, communicate out your messages, etc. And between the whole pushing and pulling on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or Instagram, Pinterest, whatever it is you're using out there, it's a business tool that we find that our clients need. We need to integrate it into our software platform, for instance. We need to communicate and make sure it's in our communication messages that are out there. I mean, it's like I said at the beginning, it's totally ubiquitous. It's everywhere. And so either you manage your message or other people are managing your message.
No, it's very true. It's very true. And what's your background?
Marketing, strategy, planning, market research, competitive intelligence, a little of that.
Okay. So when companies come to you and they say, hey, look, we want to manage our social media, we want to manage our communication platform, what are some of the advice you give them right up front?
Well, we ask them a lot of questions. We call it discovery. So we try to learn what's going on. We understand what they do well. We understand what hasn't gone so well. We understand where there's comfort and where there's not. And I mean comfort in the sense of you have to meet the client where they are. And so even though you may know you need to do A, B, and C, if they're only willing to do B, C, and you can add D, then you go there and you work as much as you can to getting back to A if you can. Otherwise, you just got to let it go. I mean, when you're on the consultant side that you need to work with clients where they are. I mean, we do a ton in the storytelling space, which is communicating, of course. But these days with Instagram, Facebook, Google, all giving clear preference to video, we've spending a lot of time doing a lot of storytelling using video and even using audio. If clients, and of course the written word never hurts either. So, I mean, all of the above need to be brought to bear from a communications perspective, including social media.
It really is an entire platform, isn't it, today? It's just another tool, but it's becoming more and more important. In terms
Well, there's
of
a lot of tools in our toolbox. I mean, we have the usual, creative and collateral materials. But again, you can do all of that with what we just talked about. Those things can supplement or complement, your video work. They can complement. They can complement, the marquee you have outside if, you've got a physical presence. They can complement, you know, your bulk mail that you might need to send. I mean, there's just lots of ways. You're right. There's no shortage of how to communicate with clients. And, you know, we strive to be a one-stop shop and try to deliver clients as much as we can from that communication perspective. Software development, marketing, branding, strategy, you know, on and on.
Sure. Well, it is about finding out what the particular client's customer base is best reached at, right? I mean, figuring Absolutely. That out is the best way yep. and trying to understand it.
Yep. And usually there's more than one customer base. So, you know, not every company, but many companies segment their markets. So if you're segmenting your market, you might have a B2B market, you might have a B2C market. You might have one or more of each of those. Plus, of course, I would argue never, ever, ever forget the employees. That's another market. And if you want to really turn them on to being your brand ambassador, or at least making sure they know the good news that the company, whatever the company's doing, then you need to work with all of those brands and make sure you're tailoring your messages as well as, you know, what's going on with your own platforms, whether it's web or, you know, whatever it is along the way.
Internet, whatever you have.
Yeah, absolutely. Super
Well, important. We've been talking today. Victoria Koontz, the Strategy and Marketing Vice President at Durago Design and Development, Inc. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Obviously, if people want to reach her or contact her in any way, oh, your information is, what's your website?
It's Durago Dev, D-I-R-I-G-O, Dev, D-E-V.com.
Perfect. Simple and easy. However, you can also go to the HRPowerHour.com website right after this show. All her information, her bio, her picture, and her contact information will be there. And also a link to this show so that you can go back and listen if you heard something you want to rehear. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WOLB. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks again.
And now your HR tip of the week. According to Sherm's HR Magazine, June 2015 issue, the characteristics of a great workplace are, 1, trust. Employees trust executives to lead a healthy, dynamic, and growing company that looks out for its people. 2, engagement. Employees of great companies are invested in both the business and the organization. They see themselves as part of a great mission. 3, transparency. Leaders are open about the problems facing the business as well as the successes. They seek feedback on issues ranging from financial questions to operational challenges. 4, communication. Communication must be constant. And 5, intention. Great cultures begin with a vision and a passionate advocate. They require the continued attention of everyone from the CEO on down. And that's the HR tip of the week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to have Donna Dwyer, President and CEO of MPTC, My Place Teen Center. She's going to be talking about, you're not happy? Get in line. What she's talking about is being fearless as a leader. You know, the dirty little secret is that success always doesn't make you feel successful. So, we're going to talk about why that is and how leaders can get through that and make sure that they still move their organizations forward. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.